proper noun names. This isn't something where the Lord says, "Hello, my name is Jehovah Jireh." These are ways that we have referred to him. These are considerations. This is who he is to us. So as we see these names, oftentimes you're going to look at them and you're going to say, like we're going to see today, where God will provide. Jehovah Jireh is what that will say. God will provide. When we see that, again, it is not what many people would say when they're looking at a proper name and they say, oh, his name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Nisi. His name is Jehovah this. No, these are ways that we have referred to him. These are ways that we have worshipped him. And it's important for us to know that difference, that when you're looking at this, what happens today with modern day theologians, if we, I chuckle a little bit as I say that, is they'll look at this and they'll say, aha, well, there are other people who referred to their God the exact same way. Well, yes, if you've got a God of the river who provides fish, you would say that this God provides. And that word, if they're close to the same kind of language style as the Israelites were at the time, if they spoke some kind of Canaanite language, Jireh would be a part of that conversation. And a lot of people would use that to either try to discredit God or add credit to the other gods or make claims as to who the Israelites worshipped. They're words. They're words, and it's important for us to know that what the value of that word is. And not get things confused. But as we are reading here, verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or that God did tempt, or in that word tempting there, it means test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt sacrifice upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What we see there is God providing. Now, there's a lot to be said about this passage of Scripture. Of course, we could go into it in more depth at a different time. But when we look at this, God had no expectation of Abraham killing his son. This was a test. We see that word tempt. The word tempt in the English vernacular, not American, but in the English vernacular, comes up to either tempting, as in trying to get someone to do something, or testing. In this particular case, we see it as a test. Would Abraham do it? And whether Abraham would do it or Abraham wouldn't do it, it doesn't matter, because it pointed to a picture of what God was willing to do. It's important for us to remember and to put ourselves into God's place, that God is not just some imaginary being stretched out into the heavens where he's way entirely so different from us that we can't understand them. There are parts we can understand. We can understand what it's like to give an only begotten son or to lose a child. That would be astronomical for us. That would be a very heavy burden for us to consider the loss or the sacrifice of a child. And in this particular case, that's what the Lord's pointing to. This is what I will one day do for my son, except when it comes down for the knife, when it comes to the knife coming down, there'll be no stopping. He must go. And we see also that to some certain extent, Abraham may have knew that this, known that this is what was going to happen, because in verse 8, when he responds to Isaac, he goes, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And by all means, we understand that God really did provide himself a lamb, himself as the lamb. That's what he was willing to do for us. This is not a an image of God playing with the head of a father, but instead this is an image of what God himself was willing to do, something that would be horrific and barbaric in our minds to contemplate, but would be something that God was willing to do for us, to provide himself a lamb. And there was a ram in this case, but to provide himself a lamb. If you consider that for a moment, you know, I've got my kids, absolutely love my kids, would not give my kids for any person on earth, just really wouldn't. If it came down to sacrificing my kids for the life of somebody else, I'm just going to be honest with you, it's not going to happen. If I have the choice, it's not something I'm interested in doing. God had a deeper love. God has a deeper love. And he loved us with that desire to rectify the situation, to make things right with us. He provided that. As Brother Charlie said this morning, we are needy, needy creatures. We are a needy creation. We have certain needs that we ourselves cannot meet. First and foremost in our needs would be our sin debt. We do wrong. We do far too much wrong. When you look at this world today, and I'm not just talking about the hot buzzword things that we don't like, we're talking about the seedy underbelly of the world, the ripping off of large people, the large amounts of people, the keeping certain races down, racism, debauchery, just this disgusting things that men do to women, the disgusting things that people do in general. We are a gross and sinful people. You know, Brother Dennis has told me a couple times, you know, you walk through the grocery store up there, people will grab the cherries off of the thing, they'll chew them up, spit the seeds out all over the place. Now, here's the thing. I don't want people spitting things out where I'm eating. Does that make sense? If I go to get some apples or something, I don't want someone's cherry pit spat out on the apples. Does that make sense? I don't want it on my celery. I don't want that stuff. But they don't think about that, do they? And there it is. We down to the grocery shopping, we mess things up. Down to the grocery shopping. And it's even worse than that. It's not just us in the grocery stores. We've got people in control of finances and the economy. We've got people in charge of bombs and bullets. We've got people in charge of things who shouldn't even be in charge of themselves. You know what I mean? We are a needy people. Sometimes I just look at the way we act on a large scale and I go, I wonder how we haven't blown ourselves up yet. How have we not completely poisoned ourselves? You know, I used to like to go kayaking down in Lake Erie, and more I would see just more of that oily residue, that chemical residue on the top of the lake. Lake Erie is one of the dirtiest of all of our great lakes here in Michigan. Why? Because of all the runoff and all the stuff we've poured out into it. It is kind of a rough place to go. You don't almost don't want to put your hand in it in some places. It's amazed me that we haven't done serious damage, and we do damage. But I'm talking about catastrophic, world-ending damage. Why haven't we? Because God's preserved us and protected us. I think in our foolishness, in our pride, in our sin, we would have killed ourselves a long time ago. If Darwin was right, we would be dead. And I'm not trying to sound all that pessimistic, but if Darwin was right, there's no way we would have made it. We would have lost the world several times over. I mean, think of the Cold War. We would have lost it then. Think of the things we've put into the drinking water. We ought to be dead, but here we are alive. We are a needy people, but our greatest need of all is the sin that we have. And it cannot be paid by good works or promising to behave for the rest of our life or by spending time in a in the middle place between heaven and hell, waiting for someone to pray enough or pay enough to get us out. We need someone who lived a perfect, spotless life to come and die on the cross for us. You see, if Abraham would have gone through and sacrificed Isaac, Isaac would not have been a good for the burnt offering. Why? Because I'm sure that boy had blemish. I'm certain that boy had sin. No man, woman or child, could ever die for the atonement of their sins, much less anybody else's. We have a need. And we see that as a debt. The Lord refers to it as a debt in a few different places. He's teaching us how to pray. What does he say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How about Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, when he gives us the parable of this guy who, this great king who made an account of all of his subjects, and he found one guy was deep in debt to him. And after passing judgment, he says, all right, put him in jail, sell off his family, sell off his belongings, sell everything off so he could pay that debt back. And that's what we're going to do with him. And the guy pleads for mercy, and the great king gives him mercy. But as that man is walking through, he finds somebody who owes him much less than what he had just had forgiven. He refuses to forgive that man. When the king finds out, he goes ahead and readministers the punishment. And of course, what was the parable there? The parable is about how often we ought to forgive others. Well, how often should I forgive my brother? And that's the parable that the Lord responds with. Listen, you've been forgiven a huge amount of debt. Keep that in mind when you're refusing to forgive others. Amen. Referring to it again as a debt, something that we owe. It is a charge against us. It is something we must pay for. And how do you pay for sin? In death. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That is what we have coming to us. That is how you pay for that particular need. And it is not something that even in death we can make right again. We will die in our sin and stay in our sin. We have daily needs, right? This morning was a very particularly busy morning for some of our folks. You've got Steve, Brother Tim's son, reached out to me this morning. Hey, they're taking Dad back now. Didn't give me much of a warning. He had to go rush up there. By the time he left his home and got to the hospital, they had already completed the surgery. Yeah. I think I sent the message out there. Are they going to do it in the morning or they're going to do it sometime tomorrow? Either way, they'll figure it. Nope. Got him up in the morning. By the time Steve got there, it was done. Right, very busy morning. You've got Amanda down there in Ypsilanti. They're treating those wounds, treating that infection. I've been talking to them this morning as well. Reached out to my dad. He's getting his PET scan this morning. Just let him know that we're praying for him. Just there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of we have needs. Right? You'll have needs in your house. You'll have needs among your friends. You'll have health needs. There's a lot of things that you need. Food, water, shelter. You need all that stuff. And I tell you what, we get very comfortable in our country not realizing that we sit upon a knife's edge. A few days without water and you're dead. Right? A significant period of time without food and you're dead. Even worse than that, a significant period of time where food is not accessible to the masses, people will lose their minds. I keep trying to tell people, the moment those cards, if everything ever happens in our government, the moment those cards stop swiping or the grocery stores stop filling, your neighbor's coming over. That's the person you got to worry about. Right, we sit on a razor's edge, and if 2020 taught us anything, it's that. It is just how fragile our infrastructure really is. And we get used to it. We go over, we turn on the tap, what comes out? It's water. Right? You might have to do a little maintenance here or there, depending on what your water system is. We get used to it, but we fail to realize just how precious of a commodity it is. Think of the food. Right? You sit there, you go, and you get yourself a bag of chicken. You ever sit there and consider how long it would take to raise a chicken, feed a chicken? Many of you already know, of course, but you think about that. Well, how much time would it take for me to do this on my own? We don't think about it. We just go, we pay the $10, we bring it home. If that wasn't there, I couldn't raise a chicken fast enough to feed my kids. You following me? We sit on a very dangerous edge. We have needs. Our health is always a thing. It's always a consideration, especially as the years begin to tick by, you begin to realize the needs that your body has. Of course, when you're young, you can run all day, you can abuse it, you can jump off of big stuff, you do all this stuff, and then get right up early in the next morning and feel perfectly fine. But as those years catch on, you begin to have to do things like go see a doctor. What age were you when you began to see a doctor more seriously? I mean, I remember all throughout my 20s, except for the fact that I got severely ill, I would have had no need to go to a doctor. I was talking to a relative the other day, and they said, well, it's probably been a good 10 years since I've seen a doctor. Wouldn't that be nice if you could go 10 years without seeing a doctor? I go, you probably should. You're getting close to 40. You should probably go just get that check engine light checked. See what's going on with you. Make sure you're okay. But we are a needy people when it comes down to our daily requirements. And we need protection. There are things that God keeps us safe from. There are things that don't never happen that should have happened. You know, we think of what Danielle's gone through this year. The more we kind of look into it, and the more people we talk to, the more you come to the realization is that that could have really gone bad. Just how bad that could have gone had the Lord not worked it out. And they just, how many people I've talked to, and they're like, well, you see, that's, if it had gone any other way but that, you'd have been in trouble. God protects us. Maybe you're late. You come up on a car wreck, and you go, that could have been me. And I like this. There's times where God keeps things from you you'll never find out about. And I'm glad, because if I think we really knew how much God protected us from, I don't think we'd sleep at night. If we really saw. And it's not just that, but think of the things that happen on a global scale. You know the government's not going to tell us everything. Just the crises that were averted and things that could have happened, bomb threats and scares, missiles that could have come our way. Hey, listen, God protects us and we need protecting. Every day we got out of the house, every day we've got to walk around and feel normal in our skin. You got to understand that He's protected you from something vile happening to you. What do we see? We see as much as of needy creatures as we are, God will provide. Now, we don't always get to pick the provision, and we don't always get to pick how it comes our way, but God will provide. What was the first need that we talked about that we have? Our sin debt. And just as this verse foreshadows, God will provide Himself a lamb. John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And you already know John 3, 16. What happens? God provided through His Son that spotless, without blemish lamb. Who broke the rules? The rules were this. You live as a sinner, you die as a sinner, you go to hell. That's the rule. But for someone who is perfect to have died, for someone who had no sin in him to have died, broke all the rules, allowing Him to pay the debt for us, and that is what He did. By His blood, we are washed clean. We are redeemed of the things that we have done. 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was perfect. He was everything we never could be. And He provided that. I mean, again, you consider this. As I said, I wouldn't give a single one of my son for the a single life of any of my children for anybody else. Wouldn't give any of the lives of my children. Just to make somebody else live, I wouldn't fathom it. Don't ask me. But God was willing to. So flippantly we throw along the line, well, I'd take a bullet for this person, I would die for that person. You know what's amazing is I don't think we often get tested on that. Jesus knew He would have to come down here, leaving the splendors and glory of heaven, to come down to put on flesh. To have aches and pains, to use a pillow for a use a stone for a pillow, to have hunger, to be rejected, to be abused. He chose that for you. to provide for you the thing that you needed most, and that is forgiveness of your sins. That is the payment of your debt. Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. 1 John 2:2, for and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid for them. And that's remarkable, because I'm of the opinion that if I do something wrong, I should answer for that. Right? If I lose my temper, if I say something I shouldn't, if I do something I shouldn't, that's on me. I remember that illustration that I read in that book, and I believe I've shared it with you a couple times, of imagine every sin you've ever committed being written down on an index card. Remember the old library system? I miss that thing. Old library, you're like, no, you don't. Old library system, you'd go, you'd pull the card. Where's, okay, there it is, and then you'd know where to go find the book. Imagine something like that, but in it is characterized, or in it is stored every sin you've ever committed, every wicked thought, every wrong thing you've ever done. And right underneath that sin is your initials, Matt Rowland. Or not your initials, but your signature, Matt Rowland. This is who did it. This was me. This is who's responsible. When he stood as a propitiation for our sins, what he did was he took that debt. He took that sin for you, rewriting in crimson red his name over yours. He paid for it. The Bible says he became sin for us, that our sins weighed upon him during that time. That's what he did. Providing for us, again, the solution to our greatest need. And I'll tell you again, as I've told you so many times, if that is all that he had done, well, that would be enough. If all you did was save my soul, let me go to heaven, you could have abandoned me the rest of my days, and you would still have nothing but praise for me. You'd have nothing but worship for me, for my salvation alone. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't surrender there. He continues to bless us. Philippians 4:19. And it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you ask, well, do you really believe that? I've experienced that. I've experienced it. In times where, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. I don't know how we're going to do this. You've got this need and we can't figure out how to get to it. God's provided. And he's provided in creative ways, and he's provided in regular everyday ways. You know, for years, you know, as we raised our kids, you know, of course they're not raised all the way yet, not even close. But as we're raising our kids, you know what I've noticed? Those kids eat a lot. They do. And there was a time, you know, we had to switch to formula for a couple of them. They weren't quite weaned yet as things began to happen. So we had to go out and we had to buy that powdered formula. That stuff's expensive. I don't understand. I don't understand why that stuff has to be so expensive. You know, don't you understand that most of the people that need this stuff ain't necessarily sitting on a ton of money, right? This ought to be more affordable. It's not. You know what God did to provide the ability for me to do that? I had a job. Well, brother, that's not very spectacular. It is if you've got a lot of people to feed. It is if you've got hungry people at home. It is if you've got a light bill that needs to be paid. It is if you've got a mortgage that needs to be, a check needs to go to. It is a perfectly normal way for us to consider God blessing us. Because if you're without a job, you suddenly begin to realize how important it is. That's God's ability to provide for us. Have a job. Right? What else can God do to provide for us? You see, the energy that you have in your body, the ability to move around, hey, that's God's provision for you. There's too many people sitting on couches waiting for someone to come by and give them things when they themselves are completely capable of going out and handling those things for themselves. So go and use what God has given you. Now, as those things become impossible, that's when you begin to see God getting creative with things. That's when you see checks in the mail that make no sense to you whatsoever. Well, how do I get a refund on that from the IRS? How does that happen? You know what I mean? You begin to see those things, and they show up right on time. There was a time we were sitting there, and we had a need, and we were praying, and we didn't know how we were going to come up with the money for it. Somebody called me on the phone. "Hey, Matt, I've got this project going on over at my house. I have a couple guys over. I'm paying folks to come over. Would you be able to give the day over? And I'm paying this much for people to come over and help. Would you be able to do it?" And there was God's solution. Now, well, that required work. That's not a real miracle. I'm sorry. I disagree. I disagree. There was a reason why you thought of me, and it's not because I'm a very skilled individual. Let's call it what it is. God creates these scenarios. God creates these situations for us, and then we walk through it, providing for us. We look back at the illustration. We look back at the passage of Scripture. That ram needed to be tackled. That ram needed to be cut out of the brush. That ram needed to be sacrificed. Work needed to take place, but God provided it. God provided it. So in our daily needs, in our daily things, we need to look for God's provision. We need to look for Him because He makes it abundant to us. He makes it clear to us, provided we are looking for solutions, provided we are relying on Him for those things. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It'll often happen where as God's providing for our needs, we forget about it because we're not looking at the things that we have. We're looking instead at the things that we want. And we completely bypass what God has provided for us. God will provide, or God has provided, and we're not grateful, right? "Well, you know, did your car make it here to church today?" "Yeah, but it's not one of those big, fancy, brand-new cars. You know, it's not one of those $50,000, $80,000, $120,000 trucks that'll pretty much drive you here, you know, and then park itself. And then when you step out of the church, it'll come get you. You know, it's not one of those, but it got you here." And you sit there and you look in the mirror. Every now and then I look in the mirror and I realize I am not the same character hanging up in my wedding photo in the living room. I am not that guy anymore. And every day I get a little bit further from that fella. But you know what? This works just fine. It does. Legs work okay. Body works all right. I can walk around all day. I've got the ability to take care of it. What do? You be grateful for what you have. And you take care of the things that you have. Oftentimes, God's provision is hidden in the things we already own. And we need to be glad for it. And we need to be grateful and appreciative to God on a regular basis. Not being covetous, right? Be happy, be grateful for what things God has given you. And oftentimes it's important for you to take stock in what God has given you, for you might already have God's provision. He might have already provided for you in the stuff you've already got. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to..." Hold on, turn the page. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." If there is a necessity, and God deems it to be a necessity, He will provide that for you. He's not going to call you to do things and force you to figure it out on your own. He will provide that stuff for you. And if it was not necessary, if it was not a need, He'd hold it back. There's a lot of times where I'd sit there and, all right, here's the problem, here's the need, and in my estimation, we need to do these things to satisfy that. And that's not the way the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed in a completely different way. That's what I was doing before y'all called me to come out here. I was trying to work my way into the corporate office. I got tired of being worried as to whether or not my property was going to sell out from underneath me, and it would be tossed up into the air as to whether or not I would have a job. But the corporate office people, didn't matter what we sold and what we bought, they were always there. And I go, that's what I want. Also, I'm not going to lie, paycheck would have been better too. That's what we do. We just try to keep going up that ladder. That's what I was doing. I was putting all things in there. I was working on as many committees as possible. I was working as closely as I could to folks. Whatever special interest projects they had, I wanted to be a part of it. Did the best I could. And I was fighting hard. And you know what? God was not blessing in that area. Oh, I had a great job. Everything was wonderful. But in all the things and all the stuff that I was doing, God wasn't blessing. And I sat there and I said, well, huh, I wonder why God's not supplying my need for this. Didn't take me long to realize after getting to meet you folks that that's not what God was planning. He was going to do something else. Go, no, no, Lord, this is my need. This is my need. I need a job I know that I'm going to be able to keep for a while. I need a little bit more money because these kids, they get hungry every day. Man, this is what I need to do. We need a new roof. We need this on the house. We need that on the house. I had a list of projects that high on what we needed to do in our house. I didn't know I was going to be selling it. You know, Lord, how come we're having a hard time finding this? How come that's not working the way that it should? Don't you understand? I've got to get things right here. And God says, no, you don't understand. I've got to get you over here. And that's what happens. Sometimes we'll do that with our health. Lord, you got to take it away. Lord, you got to take it away. No, I'm getting ready to take you home. No, I need you to hold on to this for a while because there's going to be a person sitting in a waiting room somewhere with you that needs to hear the gospel, that needs to be encouraged. There are people that need your testimony. You need to stay there just a little bit longer so you can be. You need to stay in the fire just a little bit longer so you can be the weapon you need to be. We need to rely on God when it comes down to what He will provide and what He won't. I've never seen it go wrong. I've never seen it go wrong where I've been in a bad situation. I've been in a situation where I couldn't fix it and God provided in a different way. I've never been burned. It's been uncomfortable. It's hurt a few times, but it's never been as devastating as what I thought it would be. As a matter of fact, more blessings came out of it than I could have dreamed of. And that is how we must trust the Lord. Matthew 6:26. The reason why we have such a hard time trusting the Lord is we think that if it's ever out of our hands, then we will not have the things that we need. But Matthew 6:26 tells us, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Of course, he's talking to a bunch of disciples. He's telling them to leave everything behind. Don't worry. As you go out, I am going to take care of your food, your clothing. Just go knock on doors. Go visit people. Go preach the word. That's what he told them to go do. All right, for that specific group, that was his promise. What makes you think that he's not going to do the same that he does for these flowers? What makes you think he's not going to do the same for you? These animals that need to be fed, these things here on earth, what makes you think he's not going to do that for you? There was a group of ladies that called me. It was two ladies, the last two members of a church. This was a few years ago. Called me up. Well, we'd like to have you come on down and preach for us in lieu of a call to be the pastor. And they go, now we understand that as a young man, you probably won't want to. And I explained to them. Listen, if that's where the Lord wants me to go, you know what the Lord's going to provide for me there? First week, I'm going to have a job. If that's the Lord's will. I know that's what He's going to do. The moment I need a job, God's going to give me a job. And if I've got to do both, I got to do both. God will provide. God will provide one way or the other. If He doesn't want me to have a job, the church will be able to be there and support in the way that they should, and that'll take place. I don't have to worry about it. You know, when you're sitting there, okay, well, look at what they're doing with the economy. How will I do this without, how will I be able to provide for my family with Social Security being in such dire straits as it is? God will provide, don't worry. Oh, what if the whole world falls apart? Look at the infrastructure. Look at all the problems that we're having. Look at all the needs that, don't worry, God will provide. Even as things get closer to the rapture and things really begin to fall apart, if our country disseminates in the next 4 years, don't worry. God will provide for it. God will provide for it. Oh, it'll be scary. It's hard to ride the thing down. But I'll tell you this. God will provide for His people. If He can take care of the fowls of the air, if He can take care of the flowers in the field, if He can clothe them better than Solomon, then what can't he do for you? Psalm 23, verse 1, we know this passionately. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God always has the ability, being the owner of the cattle of a thousand hills, being able to bend the world to his will. He loves you. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. Might not be high on the hog. Might be ramen. Might be broth. Might be basic things, but God will provide. It might not be everything that we dream it to be, but God will provide. And I'll tell you this, more often than not, he provides in abundance, so you don't have to worry about that. He provides in abundance. He cares for us as a shepherd cares for his sheep. He cares for us as a father cares for their child. We must remember that, and we must rely on him. Psalm 37:25, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. As we obey the Lord, as we serve him, we will find our needs met. Again, this is a dying world. There will always be that friction, but we'll get by. We'll make it. It's something very important for us to understand that no matter what happens on this world, the Lord will provide the ability for us to make it. It doesn't matter what the trial, doesn't matter what the cost, doesn't matter what. We will make it. God's people have flourished in prisons. They've gone through hard times. And I'm not just talking about the kinds that are arrested for being Christians in other countries. No, I'm talking about people in this country who found the Lord during life sentences in jail. And they have grown there and they have made it by. There have been people who live their lives in physical pain due to this curse on this earth, racking their body with illness. Hey, they eke by. We survive. There have been times in Baptist history where we have had to hide into the hills, where we have had to been discreet. There are countries today where God's people have to deal under the table just to make sure no one's going to prison today. And you know what God does? He makes it possible. I've often wondered about that when you hear news from around the world of different churches getting broken into. And they had it happen again here just in the last year where somebody tied up the doors of the church building and set it on fire with the people inside. Terrible. And you sit there and you wonder, how is it that in a place that's so hostile, how is it that there's Christians there? I'll tell you, because God. You know what those people did? Well, if he provides so much, why did he let them die? Do you know where those people are now? They'll never have to worry about that again. For a Christian to die, it's not a cruelty. For a Christian to die, we don't lose, we gain. That's the bad thing about the devil. He can affect our bodies. He can affect our lifestyles. He can affect our possessions. He can affect our family. The devil can do whatever God wants. God allows him to do. If God gives him no restraint, he'll have no restraint. But he can never take away eternity from you. You could die tomorrow and be better off. That's a morbid thing to say. And we ought not rush to it. We ought not rely on that. You know what I mean? To the point to where we're like, hey, you know, life's getting kind of rough here. And you try to speed the process along. You following me? That's not what I'm talking about. But instead we know this, it doesn't matter how awful it gets here. It'll never take away what we have waiting for us in the future. God will provide all the needs that we have. We don't need to be afraid. He will provide what we need. We don't need to be covetous. We don't need to be covetous. From our needs to our wants, God will find ways to provide for us. We need to be good stewards and grateful for that provision. as Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, we need to look back at the times in our lives where God has provided. If you're here and you're saved today, God provided. If you're here today and you had needs or you've had a meal or you've been able to drive here or something like that, God has provided. But Jehovah Jireh doesn't mean God has provided. We know He has provided. The promise in Jehovah Jireh is God will provide. That just as good as He was yesterday, He will be tomorrow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for Your abundant provision for us. Lord, You've given us health today. You've given us strength. Father, You helped our brother Tim get through his surgery this morning. You protected him. Lord, You had the doctors find the right answer for him. And Lord, I just pray that You heal him quickly. Lord, I know they're planning on sending him home today, and I just pray that everything go well with that. Lord, we're grateful. Grateful, Lord, for things like antibiotics that are helping Amanda heal. Lord, we're grateful for the pain medications and the things that we are allowed to take that help us to do well. And Lord, we're even more grateful for the times You just take the pain away. Lord, You take the problems away. So, Father, for every dollar, for every medicine, for every fresh breath, Lord, we thank You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.